Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown,
and the paranormal. I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny.
See that? We're just like so excited about tonight's show.
And that was Christopher playing his guitar. It's beautiful. Yes. We are very excited. We have Heidi Hollis with us tonight, and we'll be talking Hatman, Shadow People, Old Hag Syndrome, Aliens, and more. It's very exciting.
I think we all need to take a break from the news, which is not to say we don't support the peaceful protesters, and we certainly do not support the racist acts of weak-minded cowards. This is America.
That's right. There you go.
And that's all I'm going to say about it, because this is not a political show. Unlike the other one we do on Mondays, sometimes with Joe, which can be challenging for me at times.
Need a breather.
Yes, it can. Sure is, as our friends well know.
Hi, Del. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Joe. Seraphine.
I have a big, big mouth. So we had an exciting weekend.
We sure did. Our guest, last week's guest, and our friend Nathaniel, was in our area. So we had a chance to hang out and cook out with them and talk shop, and we had a really great time.
Yeah, we got to do a spirit Daniel's box list. Session, which was really interesting, and I heard words when I was peeing.
Oh, my God.
We won't get into that. You just...
No!
I forgot all about that. the running water thing. I was hearing words. I thought that was kind of funny. And plus, he rolled up in a Challenger, and I got to drive that beast.
Yeah, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Very funny, Christopher. Mm-hmm.
you did not.
No, I did not, but...
Because he instinctively probably knew how you drive.
Thanks. So back to Heidi.
All right. Back to the show.
We have Heidi Hollis on the show, and she's the world's most famous expert on shadow people in the Hat Man phenomena. Please don't make me say that word again tonight. Phenomenal. And actually gave them both their defined names.
In her best-selling books, The Secret War, a true story about real alien war and shadow people, and The Hat Man, a true story of evil encounters.
That's awesome. Indeed.
Indeed.
It's awesome to be here with you both.
Beings, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so Heidi. Much. It was really kind of you.
Standing by while we're trying to get our intro right.
And I no worries.
Kind of wrote it, but we're trying a new thing. We're trying to like write some of this stuff down instead of working off our memories, which doesn't seem to work too well anymore. I don't know. It might be old age.
That's all good.
So
no worries.
And for me, anyways. How are you doing? Welcome to Bigfoot and the Bunny.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm doing great. I'm hanging out. It's pretty hot where I'm at, but
where are you out of?
Northern California right now.
Oh.
Yep. But it's what, 98?
Are you up as far as like the Bay Area?
Yes.
Nice.
Exactly. And it's pretty
beautiful out there.
It is. It's toasty, but I was originally from San Francisco but raised in Wisconsin, so.
Wow. So. That's quite a difference, right?
Bit, right. Just a bit. I thought it was time to come back out to see my roots. And it's been interesting. And unfortunately, the pandemic has kept a lot of people indoors.
Yeah, it certainly has. So. We're out of Massachusetts. And, I think we're like the third worst state. We're three or four. It went back and forth for a while. And we've been home, you know. It's pretty much locked down here. There's not much open. We could travel in mass, but there's not many places to go. You can go to the supermarket.
Yeah. You know,
there's takeout food, and that's about it.
And you know, my profession, I'm in the medical field. So right now I'm not practicing as of these past few months. And wow, what a bullet to dodge. My friends that are and colleagues, they are really suffering. And, you know, I'm in this area that's not in right in San Francisco, but where they don't have a whole lot of outbreak and they're fighting to open. And I'm like, I lived the last 12 years in Chicago. And my goodness, it is a war zone. And I think all my colleagues are going to end up with PTSD. I mean, they're getting sick. Their patients are dying. And I'm like over here and I'm like, you know, they're fighting to open up over here. My friends are just in disbelief. So, you know, I guess if you're not in the middle of it and you're not exposing yourself and feeling you're near death all the time, sure, fight for it. But my goodness, I really just, I mean, I'm hearing the stories from people that I know and care about. And I've lost a couple of colleagues too to this. So it's oh, wow. It's brutal. It's that. Brutal.
Yeah, this year has been like unbelievable.
Terrible year. It's a terrible time.
Yeah, it's really something else, but it's hard to ignore. But yeah, but on to the paranormal, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. But it's a nice distraction, you know. At least we can do this. People are finding out their houses are actually haunted, and you know, all kinds of things going on in those directions.
Yeah.
But
for those of those, you, go ahead. Yeah, I was going to ask. For those of you who don't know, how would you differentiate Hat Man from shadow people, like teeth and like the nun and various hats and ethnicities? Yeah.
Well, when it comes to shadow people, at one point I had lumped the Hat Man as being another form that shadow people would take because I had personally not seen him before. But the difference between shadow people and Hat Man is that Hat Man can definitely step out from the shadows and be solid, and you could see his clothes, his skin, if he's clean shaven. Yeah, it's if he's got a hat on, he doesn't always wear a hat, and he's got teeth. So yeah, he likes to talk as well.
Not so, he's, so nice teeth, right?
They're
kind of gnarly. Like
they look like Stephen King's It, that Pennywise clown. That's how people generally say, and the smile goes from ear to ear like the Joker. So, yeah, it's a good way to describe it.
Right, right. A little like the nun.
Mm.
Was that we included that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That I know that hits home for Chris. So yep. She's had her own. We're not going to talk about ourselves, but we've had our own experiences. I included in the email I sent you.
Yeah.
And that's what she sees, which seems to be spot on with what you've said about the Hat Man's teeth.
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting. It kind of changes a person, does it not?
Yes, it does. Very much so. Blocked a lot of stuff out because I started seeing him when I was a child, like little.
Yeah.
You know, I was around 3 or 4 and yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't
well, please do share because I don't know if everybody's heard it. I sure would love to hear it from coming from you directly, too.
I don't tell people because it's just like I said, I like to block it out of my head.
Mm.
So my recent sighting was a couple of months ago when Chris had dropped me off at my house here, and I was by myself and I was vacuuming. I felt a really negative energy in the air. And when I turned, I was vacuuming, like I said, when I turned around and looked at my shadow on the wall above me was the bloody, you know, signature brim hat, right? I mean, he was standing like 3 feet taller than I was in the shadow. My vacuum went flying across my house. I was so scared. I jumped.
Wow.
Flying across my house. Yeah, it was really scary. Then when I turned back around, it was gone. And I sat down and the eeriness, the negativity started going away easily. And that was my last time I saw him. Try not to see him again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can say this, you know, being with Kristen, like I put on a Hat Man documentary that was on Amazon, I don't know if it still is, and we couldn't actually get through it. She wouldn't watch it all. So it's sensitive stuff to her, which is what I was saying in the email. It's like I've seen shadow figures before, and I've had sleep paralysis experiences, which we'll ask you about later. The tie-in with sleep paralysis, though I know it's not restricted to that. There's some interesting commonalities there. But like she didn't really like can't really talk about it. You know, like this all became a thing like, building up to our interview with you. I think I told you that I had an old hag syndrome experience before I knew there was a thing. And I was watching a movie about it and I didn't think it was like a real thing. And I Googled it. This was recently, but I had the experience, I don't know, about almost a decade ago. But I still remember it, you know, and it was tied in with sleep paralysis. But we'll get into that maybe a little later. It was very strange, you know, to find out, wow, you know, thousands of people have seen this same entity.
Yeah,
you know?
It really was.
But let's start at the basics. Yeah. Your 1997 book, A Secret War, a true story about a real alien war and shadow people. You connect shadow people with aliens. Can you tell us about
that? Yeah, I always have.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I've always done that. And I mean, I came, I was a person who had experience growing up in a haunted house. Then I saw a lot of UFOs and I joined a UFO discussion group. But all these people were abductees. I wasn't. I was like, I just seen some major craft and it was kind of cool to be able to vent that to somebody. And soon after joining that group, I started experiencing black helicopters. And I actually, it was crazy. I was out mowing the lawn and it was electric lawnmower and I accidentally tripped over the cord and I expected to hear silence. But instead, I heard this big whoop, whoop, whoop sound. And I'm like, where on earth is that coming from? I look around, the trees are flapping side to side. I'm like, I got to look up. I'm like, holy smokes. Wow. You know, it's like this helicopter wants to land on the house. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, just in disbelief, totally unmarked. And I mean, it hung around like it's going to land on this two-story house for close to an hour. It was just crazy. I was trying to get the neighbors, like, anybody around here to see this? But just
what is the black helicopter experience? I mean, you say this is a war.
Yeah, so the black helicopters are known to harass people who have witnessed UFO or alien phenomena. Many people are like, well, it's unmarked. They act strangely. And I mean, they were tipping to the side. And I swear I saw a guy trying to take photos of me while I'm mowing the lawn. I'm like, really? It's that important? You know, it just made no sense. So, I'm just like, how is this beneficial? You could have just caught me walking down the street or going to my college, you know? So it was just intimidate. So, it was something I just couldn't believe it. You know, I've just seen a couple of UFOs and here's these people that, had been experimented on and they were really getting harassed, you know? But from the alien side, but, I also had some strange experiences where I was seeing these entities that kind of look like, alien beings, but kind of, it was just weird. It's like, I could see silhouettes, like they're trying to blend with the wall, but I'm kind of seeing something's there. I moved to another place and got a college roommate. And I'm a cartoonist, so I'm like, I'd be drawing these things. I'm like, I see this weird shape over here. And lo and behold, my college roommate, she was Pentecostal, super religious. don't speak about those things, you know, you're demons. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, sure. So she became like any of my other friends. They were only speak on these topics if they were making fun of it. So I was like, I was kind of used to that. And but then I caught her drawing what I was drawing in the living room. It was an alien, and she's an extraordinary artist, and she drew the famous copywritten image of Hatman that's all over the world that everybody took off the copyright from.
Everybody's sure I've seen that image.
Stolen it. Yeah, they've stolen it, and man,
I didn't steal it.
Of course not. That's
I did. I used a copyright free image, public domain image, and manipulated the crap out of it to make it scary.
Yeah, people don't
realize
it.
It actually didn't look scary at all.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. But yeah, so she, I found that she could see as well as I could, but even better. where she was able to detail these things. And the experiences really shifted at having this, her name is Samantha, I don't know her experience, her vibration, I don't know what it was, but things went to a whole new level where, first I should back it up, because before I got that roommate, I was living in an apartment by myself. I had moved from that house that had the black helicopter, went into a single apartment, and living alone, you know, my dad's like, oh, single lady, you know, young lady should not be in an apartment by herself and not on the first floor. And I'm like, ha, I got this apartment that had bars on the window. So they were like safety bars. I'm like, ha ha, dad, I can move there now because this one has safety bars. So I wake up one night and I hear crazy noises out in my apartment, like somebody has broken in and they're going through my stuff. And I'm like, I'm laying on my bed and I'm listening to this ruckus. And I'm like, oh, my door's wide open. I'm like, once I put my feet down, they are going to see me because they're right in the living room, right next to my bedroom. And I'm like, great. I got bars on my window. I can't get out.
People can get in, but you sure can't get out now.
Yes. I'm like, well, this works to my disadvantage. And I'm like, my phone is not near me. I'm like, all right, Heidi, you're going to put your feet on the ground and you're going to run like heck for the door and just get the heck out. And I'm like, my heart is racing. I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3. And I just book it for the door. And I'm like halfway through the living room when I see these little things the size of children. And I'm like, skirt, hold on. Kids broke into my apartment. You know, it's like, right. I've got to be kidding me. I'm like, I could take on children. I mean, they're like, I don't know, 3.5
children in my apartment.
Yeah. Like, but it's kind of dark in the living room. And I'm like, what are these little stinkers? And, you know, they have their backs to me and they're going through my bookshelf. And there's two of them there. And I stand between the two of them. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, I was in a panic, you know, before. So I'm like out of breath. What's going on? And they turn their heads. And I see these solid black eyes. They're total typical gray alien beings. And people always describe these two slits for a nose and a slit for the mouth. And the mouth is closed. I'm like, oh no, their mouths were open in like the letter O. Like, oh crap, she's up. and I was like, I said, put the stuff down. What are you doing here? And I'm grabbing the stuff out of their hands and I'm putting it down. And then I hear noise behind me. And I had a big walk-in closet. And I go in there and I think I might have flicked the light on. I don't know. And there's two more in there. And I'm moving really quick because, again, I thought I was about to die. And I'm like, who are you? What are you doing here? Who are you? What are you doing here? And they froze and they looked at me and their mouths opened up. And I was like, this is crazy. You know, these little ugly things are around here. And I hear some noise in my kitchen. I go in there. Two more are in there. One's standing on the counter going through the cupboards. One's down below going through the cupboards. And I'm like, and I'm totally just like, who are you doing? What are you doing here? Good. You know, I'm carrying on. And my door is right there to leave. But no, I think I could take on these little tiny crappers, you know?
like start playing soccer with them or something.
Yes. I'm like, what? This is just insane. What are you trying to pull here? And to my right, okay, my bathroom door was closed, but the light was on. And I was like, okay, that is it. It's like somebody's using my toilet.
Oh, you have crossed the new line.
Yes. I'm like, you know, you didn't ask permission. I flung the bathroom door open and there were two more in there, but I didn't realize one was behind the door. So when I flung the door open, it knocked it to the floor. And this other one was reaching for something on my back of my toilet, right? And I believe all of these grays were naked, except for this one grabbing for something off the back of my toilet. And I grabbed it by its little suspender-like outfit. And I picked it up. And I said with every word, who are you and what are you doing here?
Awesome.
And awesome. I was just like, I had just asked them a gazillion times. None of them are answering me, you know. And I was just like,
Is there any kind of response at all? Is there any kind of just clicking or something?
Well, their mouths open into a perfect little circle, like, oh, you know.
Right.
But the one that I'd knocked to the floor from opening up the bathroom door, he was laying on his back and he had his hands up. Like, and I heard him saying in my head, "I'm your nephew. I'm your nephew." I looked down at him to see him and totally shapeshift into my nephew in a baby blue suit and afro. Now, and he was like, oh, and I said to the being, I said, "You're not my nephew. You look like him when he was 10 years old. He's in his 20s now." And my nephew was almost the same age as me. And I'm like,
like he had caught a memory or something.
No, actually, I learned where they got that image from. It was they were going through my stuff on the bookshelf, and I had a little photo album there of that exact image of my nephew dressed just like that. Yeah, so they were totally picking up information about me. I had joined this group. They're like, "Well, who is this non-abductee? We must probe her or something." I don't know.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just weird. And so I'm like, "Wow, I joined this group, and now I got aliens. What is this?" It's crazy because that one I picked up and was shaking. To put my attention back to it. And I realized this thing was not like the others. And you know that song, "One of these things is not like the other. What is wrong here?" And I looked at this thing, and it was close to my face because I had picked it off the ground. And I'm not a violent person. I've never hit a child in my life. But
children, though, you discovered that.
Yeah, I don't have any kids.
Anyways.
Yeah. We're not children.
Yes, right. So this thing had the big almond-shaped eyes, but they were blue. They were human. Its skin was like peach, and had freckles on its nose, and it had the big bulbous head, and it had like a curly red tuft of hair on top of its head. And this thing was shaking so badly, like a short-circuiting robot, and I felt like I had just terrorized a child. And I was like, whoa, hey, it's okay. I got to calm it down. I put it back on the ground. I'm like, "It's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm asking all these guys, what are they doing here? Nobody's saying anything. And this one over here is lying to me." And I said, like, "It's okay.
Thank you for listening."
And I always get like ribbed on for this one. I offered it a cookie to calm it down.
Oh, man.
Really? Would you like a cookie?
I did. I said, "Do you want a cookie?"
Awesome.
Just get you a cookie. And I turned around to go get it a cookie. And all of the other ones that were in my apartment were at the door. And I was like, "Oh, great." And I'm looking at my cookie jar up on my fridge. I'm like, "Really, just what do you guys want?" You know, type of thing. And they're like in a shape of a V in front of the door. Like, and they all kind of like, you know, like on the count of three, everybody, one, two, three, and they all leaned forward, and like it was like probably nine of them, and boom, I got hit with this mental wave, and pook, I'm out. I was out, and
like you went unconscious.
I guess I don't remember what happened after that. Yeah, I was gonna give a freaking cookie to a little hybrid alien, and then I get this, and I'm like, "What on earth?" I wake up the next day going, "Where'd they go? Where did they go?" I was like,
"Holy crap!"
But that next day, shadow people showed up.
Oh man,
yeah. I was like, "Come on, really?" I get rid of these little stinkers, and I got these big black masses going through my place, and I had seen them once before. I saw them following a friend of mine, and it was probably 2-3 years earlier, walking in broad daylight and with my friend, and I, along the path, I'm seeing something ducking behind the trees, going through the bushes, and I'm thinking, I'm going nuts. I'm like, what am I seeing? And my friend's just talking, la, 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 and I'm like, "Oh, man." We get to our destination, return back, and it followed us all the way back, and I was just beside myself, and I'm like, I go to my friend, I said, "Look, I don't know what I just saw." And I grabbed a piece of paper and I drew what I call the head and shoulder shadow. And it was this thing. It's like a big hulking thing that broad shoulders with its head directly connected to its shoulders, no neck.
No neck.
And yeah, and I didn't see any arms or and I drew this thing out, and I'm thinking my friend is gonna just start laughing. No, she goes, oh, that thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's been around me since I was a kid. It's like, hey, Dad, look, he's back. Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to hide under her bed all the time. I'm like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I'm shocked at the calmness of all this. So,
yeah.
No neck, no dandruff.
Yeah. Head and shoulders. Head and shoulders. I love that. Yes. So I was just like, you got to be kidding me. So I was staying at this friend's family's home, and my room was on the top floor. So it was broad daylight. So I had to get something upstairs, and I went to go grab it, and I was going to come back down. And I go to grab what I needed real quick, you know, and I turn around, and it's like the second floor is like an attic, but there's a completed room at the end. But the middle room is just empty, pitch black, no windows. But my room had windows, so there was no need to turn on the light. So I go to grab what I did, turn around, and son of a gun, that thing was blocking my way to get out of the room. It was seething angry, and I don't even know how to describe that kind of fear, because it took everything. Like, I just knew if I ran, it was going to get me. If I swung at it, it was going to get me. And I'm like, I just kind of closed my eyes and sang a prayer, and I slowly walked through it to get out of that room, because I just felt it wanted to absolutely murder me right there. I practically tumbled down the stairs because I was so scared that my legs were jelly, you know, like, and boom, I hit the bottom, and my friend opens the door and it's just like, looks down at me, look, what's going on? And I couldn't even get my words out. I was like, it's upstairs. And she looks up, she's like, grabs me and closes the door. I was like, oh man. But I started having a lot of nightmares of shadow spiders, but I didn't relate the two at the time. But I kept having like these nightmares but my eyes were open. I mean, how could I have a dream and open my eyes and it's there? These shadow spiders that were either big ones that took up the whole ceiling or multiple ones in the thousands crawling all over me. And I would be getting up looking for a shoe, a broom. I'm like, if I kill it once really good, this might end.
On fears or something. Do you think they play on your fears? Are you afraid of spiders, like, in general?
Does anybody like spiders?
I am definitely afraid of them. So.
Yeah, I don't think many people do. There are some tarantula people out there.
Yeah, but even
them,
are.
I think if you gave them, like, a black widow or something, and said, hey, put this on your hand, they'd be like, no, I'm good.
I always threaten my younger sister, because she has this thing about feet. I said, you'd probably have shadow feet coming at you.
I'm scared of scorpions. If I see a shadow scorpion, I'm out of here.
You're out. Okay. Yeah. So,
but we don't have them here in Massachusetts, thankfully.
Oh,
that's why
good.
I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's funny. But I mean, yeah, these things do play upon fears, yes, but they feed upon it. But any man-eating spider, I think people would have fear, because it was like huge. It took up my whole ceiling. So, it kind of runs through your head to be like, Jesus. I could leave a baby Yoda right here, all on my own naked.
That's not a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. So my own creation. But, but
damn. Wow, that is crazy. That's your introduction to shadow people and stuff.
Well, yeah. So when I got rid of these gray beings, and then I'm introduced once again to the head and shoulder looking shadow, I'm like, what gives? I had no idea.
Aren't you ready to move? Aren't you like, right? I'm done. I'm at least going to the bar first.
I wish I were a drinker, but
I would think this would make you become them. You know,
right. You know, I think
get
I
out of the room. I'm like, yeah. I'm in. Count me in.
I think I developed thick skin because I grew up in a haunted house. I mean, things scared me, and myself and my siblings. The interesting part what was therapeutic for us, because our parents didn't believe us, it was just like a typical movie. Therapeutic for us was watching horror movies. And it was like a relief for us to know that others understood even the slightest possibility of what was out there. So a movie wasn't a movie unless it was a horror flick. For me and my two siblings, my sisters, just had to watch horror. Yeah, so it seems strange. Now I don't need to, because the emails I get are more horrific than anything out there.
Right.
You can imagine.
Right. I know you described some of those, the hooded shadow figures as being in the aliens. And they actually reminded me of one of my favorite horror movies, because I'm actually one of those people.
Yeah.
And I love Phantasm. I don't know if you've ever seen that one from...
Long time ago, 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. And the little guys, like in the little hood with the red eyes. Love those guys.
They're did they? Yeah. Oh, I'd have to see that movie again. Wow.
It would be like reanimated corpses from another planet, or sold to another planet into slavery or something like that. Yeah. Phantasm. Wow. People out there will get it. Love Phantasm. But
cool.
But they are tied to aliens. You tie them to aliens.
Yes, I do. So...
In particular, as opposed to the other shadow forms.
Well, it's all kind of connected. It seems so far-fetched, but it is really all connected. And how can I say? It seemed kind of connected, you know, here, get rid of these little gray creatures, and then I get these wispy black masses coming back, shadow clouds, shadow streaks, and... flies wouldn't fly in my apartment. I call them crawlers, because as soon as they came in, they're crawling. They're not flying anymore. And I was like, what is going on here?
That's fair.
It made it a lot easier to kill them, though, so it was all right by me.
Where did you live? Like, this seems like the most paranormal place ever.
I was in Milwaukee, and I've never said what that address is, but this is where
I don't
really
want the
first.
Address, but,
yeah.
You know,
well, no. It's
is there any association to the property or anything like that? To other.
I did learn that below where I lived, it was a butcher shop. Yeah, I did learn that. So, but other than that, it just seemed to be wherever I moved. So, you know, if you got a spare room, you guys just let me know, okay?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, we're already haunted enough. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't want that in my house anymore, but of course it's going to come back. So.
Good times.
You know,
good times.
Yeah, our own like quirky activity, but I mean, to have like full-on grays and the helicopters, it's a lot of stuff going on. So
there is. Oh,
yeah.
That's no idea.
That is so wild. And, you know, until somebody's really experienced something truly paranormal, where you go, no matter what, I cannot debunk this happening. Mm-hmm. You might be a little in denial, like, that's just, you know, no way. But stuff happens.
Right.
You know, I can assure you, although I've not had those experiences, things happen that are, like, you cannot explain. And your reality, an idea of reality just goes,
But this whole debunking thing doesn't happen when you're sitting there planning your next Yoda. You're like, my eyes are not failing me. It's probably one of the most common things I get in my emails is, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. I'm like, hold it. Are those the same eyes that drive you to work every day? Yeah. Why would they suddenly think, I'm going to trick this guy? It's so crazy. I mean, that's just, I don't get it. It's like, is there a reflection in my eyes? No, you are sitting there. And there's a black mass growling at you, and you see it and you feel it and your soul is shaking in your rib cage. I mean, I don't understand why we doubt our own senses. Like back in the good old days, you know, in ancient times, we had our own set of beliefs that, you know, we believed each other's dreams. We believed each other's eyes. But now we pay these eggheads to go out and say, you go to school and you learn this and tell me how it goes and come back and tell me everything that I need to know. But I won't understand what you studied because I haven't been looking into anything, you know, so I'm just going to take your word for it. Okay. So I'm going to disregard my eyeballs. I mean, why do we do that? But that's what we did. I mean, so now we're just like, oh my God, that Joe Nickel. Ugh. I did a TV show with him. Well, your eyes are not, you're not a trained observer to look up to the sky and know what you're looking at. I saw a UFO. I'm pretty sure we don't have anything 3 football fields in length that glows orangish red. What a butthead. Oh my God.
Your UFO glowed orangey red?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one did. The whole that's body.
That's how Chris and I's name became Bigfoot and the Bunny. I don't know if you've heard any of our shows, because that's the one we saw.
But it wasn't that big. It was one. It was just one.
It was one.
We couldn't quite describe, but it was orange, red, and it was moving like far faster than any jet, but not a shooting star. Definitely not a shooting star. You know, it was like in between. And we sat there and we looked at it. We're out in my front yard.
Well, I could just point up. That's all I could do. And I'm like, did you see that?
She's like, did you see that? Yeah. I have these bunnies, the bunny family that lives in the shrubs that divide the property line. And we were like, oh, yeah, next thing you'll know, you'll see Bigfoot chasing a bunny. So that was kind of how that happened. We had another series of weird events.
Probably
something weird around us, but I don't know, Heidi. You know, Grays and you know, walking through shadow people, this is pretty intense. All right, I absolutely see how you're tying, you know, the idea of shadow people with the aliens, because you're having both in the same, relatively the same time frame.
That wasn't me putting it together. It was when an alien showed up and told me, by the way, shadow people are not from here. So I wish I could take credit for that, but I really can't.
So you think they have a war against us? And is there any indication in your research as to like why would they why do they want us or harass us or what do they
want? What did Columbus want? I mean, he came over, he wanted the land, he wanted the power. It is all about that. And he's building and this and now the beings that told me it's a whole other story, I tell you, to have had another faction of alien beings I'd never heard of before coming and speaking to myself and that super duper religious college roommate and interpreting for us what we were experiencing and saying how this is not the first planet this has happened to, that these, what I kept calling shadow people, these alien beings, would just call them shadows. The thing that's in common with some of the more negative beings and some of their actions and what they're doing is they're enslaved. They are possessed, essentially possessed by these shadow beings. And this is the same thing that these shadow beings try to do to people, become possessed and take over. And you'll find in the most haunted locations, oh boy, there's a shadow person. What are the odds of that? And, these aliens told me that the shadow beings are often, the ones causing the haunting because they're trapping souls. So.
Okay. This brings me to a question. We have a theory that spirits often step into roles that, is to say a spirit may show up and it be bills above, or do you think that this could be true of like the shadow people and the hat man and.
That they'll assume a role as like a named demon.
Based on like you know, religion of the people present, if they've done an exorcism, all of a sudden they've got Beelzebub, you know, on the recorder, something like that. Which of course seems like really silly, right? But is it somebody like, is enough of this stuff going on that we have this idea that spirits will step into these roles and be the devil? They'll be this, they'll be that.
A child spirit. They'll be, you know.
Yeah, a child spirit, a real common thing, right?
They like to hide as children. I find that these demonic things, they like to hide as children, something innocent. And because you let your guard down, oh, is this a little girl ghost? Oh, she bit me. Oh, isn't she precious? No.
We have to save her. We have to save her. We have to give her lots of attention and draw her really closer to us.
Make her feel at home. No. What god do you know would allow a child spirit to roam like that? Come on, no. That's just cruel. absolutely cruel. Do I think there's impressions and lingering sometimes and visitations? Yeah, I think that happens. But these ones that are tugging on your bed, mommy, oh no, no. I am not your mother, child. I don't have any. you know, I think that, but in taking on these different roles, what you're saying, it's something that I haven't really looked so much into, but when it comes to these shadow beings, they sit there and they like to hold a person down, make them feel vulnerable, feed upon their greatest fears. Like, oh, we had to pin them down for 20 minutes. And that's when they kind of gave up. Like these people, this is so sad that the emails that I get, you know, people are like, when I was fighting for my life, like, oh my God, you know, don't kill me. What do you want? I can't breathe. Let me up. And this type of thing. And when they finally just like, I'm going to die. Okay. And they make peace with it. When they let go, so do the shadow beings. It's like, oh, well, this isn't fun anymore. He's not screaming. He just gave up. All right. So we know it's 20 minutes, 10 seconds, you know. It's finding that breaking point, and then it's easier to get that person and faster to get that person to their breaking point, and they work on it, and Hatman will step in and take a look sometimes, and but to say that they'll assume a name identity, I find that shadow beings don't generally like to be spotted. They'll run away or they'll charge you. Hatman will be like, oh, she's waking. Let me tip my hat and smile. I want to make sure she gets a good look because I want them to remember me and this moment right here and there that I'm the one to fear. Oh, you want to know my name? Call me this. Call me Scratch. Call me Hatman. He's been saying freaking Hatman to some people.
Right,
unbelievable.
Just to say that he knows about you.
Yes, he does. Oh, he hates my guts and feelings are mutual. Sounds good.
he seems like an evil bastard.
Oh.
So the Hat Man knows who you are, who knows who everybody is who he comes in contact with.
Well, he knows her in particular because she coined the term Hat Man.
Right. Yeah. Hat Man.
So he's telling other people.
Yes.
He's Hat Man, which is
the same. Yes. Right. But yes. I was just asking the question. So say I saw him again. He knows who I am, correct? Chris saw him. He knows who Chris is.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He studies people. He tries to, and people are like, oh, my dad told me he's our guardian for the family. I'm like, why would he tell you that? Because he's always there. And I'm not scared. Oh, so he's studying you.
Trying to see,
I think this one is rapeable in about 5 months, maybe 5 years, because he'll rape men and women. He doesn't care. Yeah, so that's no guardian. He's looking, well, who's more vulnerable? Oh, grandma's sick. I'm going to go over there and make sure she dies more slowly. She sees me while she's dying. There's a child. Oh, hold on. Let me punch my fist through his chest and pull him out kicking and screaming and smile for him. This is the stories I'm getting.
Children seem particularly vulnerable.
They do, and he builds relationships with them, too, like, he'll try to seem friendly and nice. Other times, he could really care less. He works on them. He works on them. And it's so disgusting. Sometimes I open up an email and I just cry because it's so much and it's so widespread. And I'll tell you, this is one of the reasons why I now have registered Hatman and Shadow People. So no one can go out there and continue making these things because they're glorifying him. He's horrible. He's horrible. And they're feeding off him. There's video games. Like, I mean, really? You know, people basing their work off from their projects off my work. 20 years. And I've been doing this. And imagine this. I've had, I won't name names, but I've had authors contact me. Oh, will you help me write a book on shadow people? Well, why would I do that? I already did this. Now, I don't get invited to go speak anywhere, right? I'm off white, mind you. I don't know if you noticed, but I don't get invited to go speak places. But after those authors wrote books, they did. So what is that?
Really?
Yeah, come on.
I'm not kidding you.
She's telling y'all the truth.
Yes, I do not.
That's crazy.
Come on.
I am not kidding you.
You are the person for this stuff. So you went immediately to you, you know.
I am not kidding you.
That's so silly.
I would go on my own dime to conferences, and when they would have open mic time, I would get up there, and this is how Shadow People Hat Man Topic got out there. My going on my own dime and grabbing the mic and telling people, oh my God, be prepared. This is what's happening and what's going to happen. At the time, I didn't even know how widespread it was. And oh my gosh, it's just nonstop. But yeah, one time I had a lecture agent. You know, this is hilarious. I had a lecture agent. I want to talk about shadow people and stuff, you know, and it's for colleges. Well, there was another author who wrote books on other paranormal things. And I didn't get one booking. But then this author wrote a book on shadow people. I got booted off and they got booked all over. So yeah, it is pretty crazy. I'm like, okay,
that's pretty topical.
It is. I was like, really? I'm like, hold it. This is not a popular topic. Why did it work all of a sudden when, you know, it wasn't a young brown lady talking on it? I don't get it. But you know, it's like, and I don't like to look to that being the problem, but it's been 20 years.
Yeah, you would know.
It's been 20 years. It's still the same. So, but yeah, so I've been, the thing for me, it's like, I'm driven on passion to reach the people, to get them educated, be prepared in case of, because it's not just a possibility, it's a threat that this is going to come their way. And, you know, I still get emails almost weekly that say, OMG, I thought it was the only one still. And, you know, people think, oh, maybe because they saw it somewhere, this is why they're experiencing it. No. People are writing me, I've had this for 40 years. I can't believe this. You pulled these strings together to know that this is happening. And it's like, again, I give credit to the beings that reached out to me and my college roommate. And then, it sounds like it's confusing or convoluted, but it's when you experience the stuff, it kind of paces itself and it falls into line. And before I put out my first book, I wrote in 97 in 2 months, and it took me 4 years to get it published. And before I put that out, now imagine, I had experienced a lot of strange things. I'd seen things that looked like aliens and then the shadow beings and I had angelic encounters. And I wrote in my book, The Secret War, if Jesus were around, I think I would have seen him by now. I literally put that. I mean, I was at the point of, I was stepping away from all these strict religious beliefs, you know, like, this is just, you know, come on, I am looking at something walk through my wall. This is more real than this whole God thing. And so I was still editing that book, waiting to get published. And I had my own encounter with Christ that really set me in a whole different direction. And it's the only reason that I even had the strength or courage to go out and start speaking about this stuff. So I'm an occupational therapist, really tough medical program to get through. And I had to have straight A's in order to get through the program. I mean, you just have to. I would make sure I had an A+ going, because I would never do the presentation for the class. And I would tell my teacher, what do I need to keep my A? Okay, I'm going to get 110%, and then I'm not doing your presentation, because I did not have the nerve to get
it. That seems so surprising, right?
Yeah, I did not have the nerve to go up there and talk. I'm like, are you kidding? No way.
So relaxed and, you know.
Oh man. Yeah. Every time I would do a conference, I'm looking at the exit, and still I do that. I'm like, I could just leave. Nobody would know. I don't want to do this. So, but yeah, but it's like, I have nothing to say, but I'm saying it because the encounters that I had with Christ, and I wrote it in my second book, called Jesus Is No Joke. Because it was something so off center, I thought, of what I was detailing and experiencing. And I had to rewrite that part of the book and say, OMG, I thought Jesus was just a reflection in somebody's bowl of soup. And he's so real, you know. And I had to choke back those words and just be like, I don't, there's no way I could be talking about freaking demons and Hat Man, who says he's Satan himself, if Jesus didn't show up and protect me, to be honest. So,
oh, there you have it. And do you think roles, like I mentioned roles before, with the demons, can they also work for good? Or do you just haven't really explored that too much? Could it be a shape-shifting Jesus?
Oh, no.
No, there's just one. Like, you know, and do you feel the same way about Hat Man? Like, that's it? He's pure evil, and that's it? Nemesis.
The interesting thing, like, he didn't show up to me. Oh, you guys will flip out about this. He never showed himself to me until I was about to put that book out on him. That was
really
particularly about him. Yeah. Before that, it was, he came after my sister. He came after my college roommate, but he never came right at me. And I give credit to these, there's like a spiritual battle going on. I had like balls of light that would come through my place and hit something dark and shadowy in my place. And one time I woke up to a net of pastel color strings, like protecting me from these shadowy things in the room. Like I just, yeah. So, I mean, I got
protected. Seen dark stuff. You know, I need a little more sunshine, you know.
Right.
I'll wait for that nice, like, you know, holy ball of light to come in and say, oh, we're good. But we're coming to the close of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about, you and I are going to stay on with Chris, obviously, and we're going to talk and do an extended interview for Dark Horse Paranormal. Something we've been doing, and a lot of people have been asking us when we're coming out with these interviews, because we have a couple in the bag already. We're putting out about three or four of them at the same time on a Dark Horse Paranormal podcast, which is darkhorseparanormal.com. And you guys, we'll let you know when you can check those out. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. Is there anything else we wanted to cover, Chris, before end up Bigfoot?
No, I just have Heidi tell us where we can find her.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. If people have experienced anything out of the ordinary, I also have a podcast called Angels to Aliens. If they look on iTunes for that, I'm answering people's encounters also on a blog. So go to HeidiHollis.com. That's HeidiHollis.com and write me there. And I try to get to all that I get as far as emails are concerned. And, you know, and don't despair just because you've seen something negative. You can defeat this crap. I call them bastards for a reason, because you can defeat these low lives. So it's all good.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you again.
Thank you both.
Thank you so much. It's nice talking to you and this part. Yes. We'll take a little break. Let's stay on. I hope our listeners stick around and check out Serafina Lorelei, Trip in the Void, which is coming up next. And
that's my buddy, Lorelei. Love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Serafine.
The best. The best.
Yeah.
Thank you again. And thank everyone
you
for
both.
Listening.
We'll see you guys next week, and we'll have this interview in its entirety for you soon.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Another episode of Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
We'd like to thank Joe Montaldo for his engineering and support.
Thank you, Joe.
Be sure to look for us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.
You can also find us at Dark Horse Paranormal and Purple Raven Paranormal by searching those very same outlets. You can email us at bigfootandthebunny@gmail.com. Thank you.
Catch you later.
Bye.
The Home Depot's number one in outdoor power. But when it comes to cordless power, we also pack quite a punch. With the latest mowers, blowers, trimmers, and more from exclusive brands like Ryobi, DeWalt, EGO, Milwaukee, and Makita, unleashing the power of gas with all the convenience of cordless. The best names in cordless power. Order online for easy pickup or delivery. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only.